Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder and owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. We're a full operating station from A to Z, and we even produce audiobooks for authors. We do a lot of things in the author area. And we are, for those that are just tuning in, we are a Boston-based internet holistic radio station. We are the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And you can go on our site and just drink in all the goodness that we show through our hosts and through the work that we're doing in the community. Stream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. Well, I have a special guest, Simran. She's been on the show before through the years. She has her own show on Voice America, as well as right here with us, Dream Vision 7. She has written three books. Her current, as she says, trilogy is a practical and in-depth set of manuals that guide an individual into the depths of self-realization, deep presence, and awareness. These books are about her journey, but it's really about our journey. It's all oneness. It's all the same. And the second book that is amazing is Being, the Seven Illusions that Derail Personal Power and Purpose and Peace. And we're going to be focusing on that. And just a note, you can go back into Dream Vision 7 Radio with Love by Intuition archives and listen to the first show. I believe it was a couple of months ago, but just do a search and you'll find it and be able to listen to it. So I'm very excited to get into this book. There's so much to drink in. So without further ado, welcome back to the show, Simran.
It is always a delight to be with you, Deborah, and the work that you do on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, I think, is just incredible. I love the range of hosts and topics that you share, and I'm delighted to share my new book with you in this conversation.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you for that. We'll when we come back from break, I'll tell a little more about you and your background, because, you know, you are the publisher for the 1111 magazine. There's so much to know about you, Simran. But let's get into the book first. First I want to ask, because you mentioned in the book that being isn't really being that many of us think of what that means. So tell us, you know, in your writings, explain what it means to you.
I think most people, when they think about the word being or the action of being, it usually means stopping or sitting still or taking in a way of self-care. And what I came to realize in my own path of self-realization is that being is an energy and expression that we are, and it is multidimensional. So we are exhibiting multiple expressions at the same time, but not necessarily present to our levels of being. And so often our levels of being are not a who, but more importantly, a what or a when, because the level of being usually stems toward a specific age or stage or wounding or story. And from that place, we start experiencing and expressing on the planet in the ways that are both conscious and unconscious.
Wow. Thank you for explaining that, because personally, I'm more in thinking that being is just sitting, meditating, just being. And as we all know, in the holistic field and living from that place, it's all about quieting your mind and sitting and tuning into within. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, I think it's also important to understand from an energetic perspective, because when people look at the things that are happening in their lives, specifically some of the unorthodox blessings that we discussed in the show on living that we did a few weeks back, if something discordant is appearing in one's life, so often that correlates to a level of being. It may not be who we think we are, but if we delve deeply enough, we will actually find the face of ourself that is actually creating that very experience. And then that experience is something that we must face to expand and emerge beyond it.
Right. Let's talk about the different dimensions of each of us, as far as, you know, acknowledging, embracing, absorbing the shadow nature, the animal self, the monster, the inner demon, because the human is designed to judge and not think that what their thoughts are creating has anything to do with them. So can you touch upon that, please?
Yes, of course. As I did my own exploration, what I discovered were there were many parts of me that I had never realized or known about. It was only by being present to and deeply feeling into the experiences that I was having, I not only discovered the shadow, because the shadow is something that I had been talking about for quite a few years. It's been the subject of a couple of my other books. But as I went beneath the shadow, I started to discover the face of the animal. Now, the animal has multiple faces. It can either be the face of the one that is instinctual and natural, the one that follows the cycles and rhythms of nature, the one that is intuitive. But there's this other face of the animal that is hungry, that can be feral, that can be in the denser and lower vibrations and frequencies. And that was the face that I began to notice. It was not a conscious face. It was not a part of me that necessarily acted in the world in any sort of way. But yet this energy was alive in me. And so I knew if this energy is alive in me, that I must be contributing to some of the collective issues of the world or some of the issues that were in my own life. So I stayed in this place to get to know the animal. And the further I went, the deeper I went, I then began to encounter the faces of the monster. And we all have the monster inside of us. And how I know this is if you are seeing anything in front of you or on the news that has to do with something that you find traumatic, triggering, violent, scary, that usually stems from the energy in the face of the monster. But our deep denial of the monster within each one of us requires it to show up outside of us through someone else. So it was really important for me to embrace all faces that I was seeing, including the monsters. And as I absorbed these, I then encountered the inner demons. And so this just illustrated to me so much of what we see in the world is held within us. And what is being asked for in the world is the same thing that we require, which is the embrace, the compassion, the kindness, the tenderness. When we can give these things to those aspects of ourselves, then all of a sudden we can start to see those who commit the terrible acts in another light. It's not that we condone their actions, but all of a sudden our own energy neutralizes to one of compassion and kindness. And we then start to shift the world because we are shifting.
Right. I love that, Simran. So when, if people knew, if everyone knew that if they could go to that animal part of them, that part that can be difficult to see, difficult to own and acknowledge, that you're saying that if you keep on that path beyond the heaviness is the nectar of life, the illumination of sorts.
Yes. Absolutely. Our true light rests beneath all of this darkness. And it is also that very embrace that supports us in doing what we all want to do in the world, which is serve. We each want to be that change. We each want to serve the world in a powerful way. And the best place to begin is within. But it is that subconscious part of us and all of the faces in the subconscious that when we embrace and face those, that is the real ripple of change that impacts the collective. And that's the focus of this particular book. It's diving into that subconscious so that we really do affect change on a collective level, not only the individual level.
Right. And why it's so key now is because of what is happening, you know, in the world. And if people really understood, too, that, you know, as you say, anything continually held in the collective consciousness has a greater probability to actualize. So when we're angry at someone, and I think anger is fine, but we don't need to hold on to it. If we let it fester, then that actually feeds what we don't want to see in the world. And I think if everyone realized just this piece of it, they would stop and change the way they're thinking, judging, whatever it may be. They can, you know, bring it around to a different place and see something differently. And then you kind of have an aha moment at the same time. And now we're feeding the collective in a higher way. If everyone could just stop themselves, you know, in their tracks when they start talking or thinking about something that doesn't feed the whole in a positive way.
That's exactly right. And part of the reason that the book is structured in the way that it is to bring individuals to the awareness of how self-absorbed and self-obsessed we are. That is contributing to this blanket of narcissism and self absorption that is taking place in our world. And so within each of the seven illusions, there is a specific obsession that I go into that comes from these various levels of being. And they range anywhere from emotional and secret obsessions to our masked and spiritual obsessions and other places too. But when we face those obsessions, we start to realize the corollary, which is the global reflection. So each illusion also talks about the specific global reflection that will take place in the outer world the more we deny the obsession with ourselves.
Mm. And I really like with your writing how you bring that all to a full circle, including what's going on today and then what's going on within. It's beautiful the way you have done that. Can you talk about one of the pieces is the illusion of one of the illusions, one of the seven, is the illusion of evolution. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, that one is. It could be one that might trigger some people, and that trigger is going to be a good thing because it will help individuals get out of a belief system that they might be hanging on to. And that is that there is evolution. But there really is no evolution. We believe in evolution. We believe there's somewhere to go. We believe we have to attain something specific. But in actuality, if we really anchored into the truth of who we are, we would discover that we are already everything that we are searching for and seeking. This run of evolution and this chase after something that is beyond us is part of our spiritual obsession. It drives all kinds of industries to have us keep seeking and searching, to have us keep consuming. In addition, it also translates into our global reflection of security. As long as we put our power in something outside of us and beyond us, in something higher than us or bigger than us, then all of a sudden there will always be that fear of our safety and our security. And that's why we see more and more identity theft. That's why we see a lot of the things that are taking place where we feel like we have to have more and more security, more and more safeguards. It's because we are creating that space of smallness and allowing ourselves to be prideful in our own smallness rather than owning the grandness that we are. In truth, humility is not the denial of who we are. Humility is actually the full ownership of the God presence within us. And when we start to realize that that full ownership means that we stand tall in who we are, then all of a sudden there is no evolution. We just either are it or we are not.
Okay. Now, are you speaking of the species, the human species? In one sense, we have been evolving for thousands of years. You're speaking of our push of evolution of technology and everything on the outside instead of the inside.
Yes, it has to do with everything, all of evolution. Initially, that evolutionary concept begins with who we believe we are. And if we mm-hmm. believe that we are the smallness of existence, then all of a sudden we need everything else to keep evolving. We need to feel like we came from something and are going to something. We need to feel like technology and all these other things have to keep moving us forward. But once there is this true ownership of who we are as God's on legs, then all of a sudden we have to either own the full capacity of creatorship. We can no longer deny that. Or we continue living the illusion of evolution.
I understand. And you actually speak of, in this area of the book, that our minds got hacked long ago.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yes, I mean, it is true. We really are creating outside what we have done to ourselves. Everything is a reflection of our psyche and our consciousness. And so, you know, within each of the illusions, there is a key that we must fulfill, and this one is fulfillment. And in order to get to that place, we must cultivate presence. Because when we are so present in the moment, present with ourselves, present with the truth, then none of the lies or illusions can really stand in the face of presence. And that means the complete and utter acceptance of oneself.
Right. And that we are safe, because I think as you have shared in the book, that there's so much talk about fear of not having enough, fear of not being enough, fear of wars, fear of killing, fear of COVID, all of these fears. When we are feeding into that, if we allow ourselves, we don't need to do that. We can, you know, we can do the opposite of what we've been doing. And I think everyone is part of that. You know, even the most enlightened people can go down that path because we experience. Not that there's anything wrong with experiencing it, but being aware of when you're going in a different direction that doesn't serve you or the world, and that safe situation. Even I think of Louise Hayes. Most of her affirmations are always, "And I am safe." You know, it's I easily release all that doesn't serve me. The past is over, and I am safe. You know, there's a lot of safe in there, so that feeds into the collective too. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yes. I mean, I think that our level of safety and security has to be found within first. And as long as we are not comfortable and safe within our own sacred body home, then how do we feel safe in any other place? It also goes to the topic of conversation about how eternal we are. You know, we've come to a planet where change is the norm, where there is this illusion of duality, where there is the illusion of time, so there's going to be birth, there's going to be death. We've got these illusions of hierarchy, of people that have more power than other people. So, you know, that all the illusions kind of feed upon one another to build this illusion even bigger. But when we buy into these illusions, we negate the truth that we are eternal beings. We negate the truth that we are one. We negate the truth that we are all equal in the eyes of spirit and as spirit. And so to really anchor into the truth and see the illusions as that, just illusion, is part of the higher octave walk that we each must take. And that means taking these things like time, duality, money, hierarchy, identity, evolution, and even war very lightly, not getting so caught up in them, not getting overly triggered or emotional about them, not getting caught up with the news, being present to anything that you would feel in the body and the heart, but not having it create the stress response, the trigger response, the reactivity. Because when we do, we are really contributing to more illusion rather than truth.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I have a question for you coming back. If one is involved in the war, if one has family in the war, but we're going to take our first break, and I want everyone to know this is a live show here at Dream Vision 7 Radio, and you can call in. Bob is in the house. You can ask Zimmer in a question. The number is 833-220-1200, 833-220-1200. We'll be back in a moment.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Are you looking for an opportunity to explore astrology as a tool to better understand life, death, and evolution? Now you can join five experts of modern astrology on an intellectual and spiritual adventure in consciousness as they share a grounded approach to timeless star knowledge. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Heart Centeredness in the Stars at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, September 16th to the 18th. Learn more at eomega.org.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Dog Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and we are with my special guest, Simran. She is an author, as you have figured out, award-winning trilogy, IPPI and IPA Gold Award-winning Conversations, Four Conversations with the Universe, Your Journey to Enlightenment, and an IPPI Gold Award-winning for Your Journey to Love. She is also, as mentioned, she's number one syndicated on Voice of America and Dream Vision 7 Radio as a host of her 1111 Talk Radio. And she is the publisher of the award-winning 1111 magazine. And she's an artist. She's everything that you could ever want. She's just very creative. And that's how we thrive. The listeners here, think about how exciting it is when you are creating. And that's where another piece of our nectar is when we're in that space. So think about what you want. I think it's important to think right now what you would like to do to bring in more creativity in your day-to-day. We are talking about being the seven illusions that derail personal power, purpose, and peace. And if you want to get in touch with Simran, and she's doing autographed copies of both books, go on imsimran.com, Simran, S-I-M-R-A-N. imsimran.com. So back to you, Simran. You know, with being in that space of going within and really seeing the truth of who we are, and yet with the war, and I believe in the illusion of everything because we are from the light. We just happen to be here on Earth experiencing all these happenings within and out. So with someone that's part of the war, they have been relocated, maybe they have people in their family that are part of fighting. How and what can they do to bring the collective consciousness and a place where we need to rise up, yet when they're actually experiencing the heaviness of firsthand?
That is such a good question, Deborah. And before I answer that one, I want to touch on your point about creativity that you started off this segment with. And so much of my creativity and what I know as others' creativity is born of moving through the deep layers of ourselves. And when we face all that is dense within us, all that we've not felt, it does open up that well of creativity. These three books are really for individuals to reframe the human condition and to dive deeper into themselves to effect change on the outside. You know, war is terrible. It is painful. It is horrific. It is something that's out there that, as I'm saying that these are illusions, I'm not negating the experience or what is taking place in our world. What I am trying to support individuals in understanding is that all seven of these illusions build on themselves, that time, duality, money, hierarchy, identity, evolution result in war, and that initial war is the divide inside. It is the mental obsessions and where we are at war within ourselves. And so people that are out there that are on the front lines, or those families who have people that are in places that are very, very dangerous, you know, what this time is asking for us is to really feel, to be with the emotions that are taking place, and to understand that our world is in a place where we are equilibrating the energies of time, of lifetime after lifetime, of generations, of ancestors, and that what is out picturing in front of us as different wars and experiences is the global reflection of information that has been passed down. It is the stories that we carry. It is the divisiveness that we have carried. It is the wrath and the hate that is in our blood cell, bloodlines and in our cellular structure from our great deep ancestry. It may be things we're not even aware of, but our willingness to be present to the pain of others and to the angst that war externally causes within us does help to dissipate that, dissolve it, and transmute it. And so that's what I would say, is that for each and every person to be present enough to what you're really feeling, to open your heart to that, even if it is the deepest heartbreak, because what you are doing is you are being an open faucet then for the reservoir of feelings and tears and grief and anger that has not been felt, so that our world can be expunged of it.
Beautifully said. And that's the work. That's the work to let go and eliminate the generational beliefs that we have. And like you said, it's in our cell memory. It's in us, and it's accepted without questioning. And that's where we need to change too, is question whatever we have taken on from generations that we're aware of. And gee, does this serve me? Does this work for me? Does it resonate? Am I feeling light when I'm thinking that, or do I start to feel heavy and uncomfortable? And that can, by asking those kinds of questions to yourself, it opens up a lot. You just pay attention to how you're feeling, and there's your truth right there. So,
you know, and I think, Deborah, for women especially, it's really important. You know, for the past few years in particular, we keep hearing, you know, divine feminine, or it's time for women to rise up, it's time for women to be seen. And I have a different take on that. I think that what the feminine and what women are being called to is to really be the open heart, to be the womb space for all of this to move through, to go back to being the nurturer, the caregiver, the lover, the one that holds the hurt and the aching, that nurturing receptivity that the feminine is known for. And that can be in men and women. But it's very important. It's not saying that we take away rights or that we become small. To me, it is a very powerful place to be able to hold the world's grief or the world's pain. And if each woman or each man who wants to empower their feminine side is willing to just hold that space, then that does so much service in the world far beyond what we can comprehend mentally.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And compassion and coming from your heart, these things are all in the mind. And no one can take that away from you. No one can take, you know, the goodness of our thoughts and everything that we create in our mind that's wholesome and truth. No one can take that away. And it can only feed the light. And that's what we all desire, because certainly there are very few, if you get right down to it, that want all this horrendous crime and killing and everything. No one wants that. It's like you said earlier, that it's all part of that mindset for security and division and everything else that goes with that. I'd like to shift, because we're talking about the male and female two sides or two pieces of the human. And you mentioned something in the book about the eyes. And I never realized that, Simran, until I read that. And I was like, wow, isn't, you know, when you look in the mirror and you look, I've always looked in both eyes, but you explained that the left eye is the part of us that is creation, that is all part of the goodness, for lack of another term. So can you speak to that and explain what I'm sharing? Because I look right into that left eye.
Yes, there's so much about the eye. They are the windows to the soul. And, you know, it really is the two eyes that create the duality, because we see from two different lenses. The left eye is the feminine. It is the soul. It is the pupil that is here to receive. And the right eye has to do with the ego, the mind, the masculine, the action. And so we are looking at the world from these two places. And whenever you have to look someone in the eye, my suggestion is look them in the left eye. You will be speaking to their soul. You would be seeing them in their soul, and rather than looking at them in their right eye, because it makes a difference in how you see someone, because then that's how they see themselves as well.
Now, did you come to this in your, with all your healing within, or is this something that's been out there in the world that I just didn't know?
I ended up, as I began my grief process 7 years ago, it was about 3 months after, I received in meditation to paint 40 paintings in 40 days. And so I began to do that as a meditative process. And the paintings that came out of me always had eyes. There were some depiction of the eyes, whether a cross-section or frontal or something like that. And as I would sit and stare at the paintings after painting them in this meditative state, a lot of insight came through in that way. I had known, and it is out there in other people's work about, and I think maybe even in Louise Hay's initial work, about the left side being our feminine, the right side being our masculine. But I have never seen anywhere talk about the eyes in that way. And
exactly. That
just came through as I looked at them, yes.
Yes, that's it. My point exactly is I haven't read about the left eye specifically. So I thank you for sharing that, because it just takes you right home when you're looking that left eye. I mean, yeah, just talking about it, I get the little goosebumps, because we're talking about the purity. We're talking about our soul. Yeah.
Yes, and if people can do that when they go home at night, when they wake up in the mornings, if they can stare into their left eye, it creates that link, that bridge back to the soul. It will make a difference in your day, because you will operate in a different way.
Yes, so thank you for that. That to me, that it may seem like a small thing, but it's huge. I think it's huge, and especially when looking people in the eyes. A lot of times, and I used to be one of these people years back when I was younger, I couldn't look in people's eyes because I didn't feel as though I was enough to look in their eyes. And now I make a specific thing that I'm looking in their eyes when we're both speaking, and you can really, and they know it. They can feel, as you know, you can look, but you actually can feel that person when you're looking in their eyes. And now I'm focusing on the left eye.
And it goes beyond that too. You know, in the book I have prayers of petition for the purposes of us collectively using those prayers to shift the outer global consciousness. But when we are looking at someone, let's say, and I know you do, you know, the Kids for Love show, when we think about kids, our children or other kids, the way we view them in our mind's eye has everything to do with how their life will turn out. So if you have a child that's not performing well in school or is a little overactive or gets into trouble a lot, if you begin viewing that child as someone, oh, they're not a good student, oh, they're getting into trouble a lot, or they're sick, I need to pray for them because they're sick, what you're really doing is empowering those issues within them. Instead, if through that lens you see them as successful, as happy, as whole, and you really hold that vision, then the energy can only support them to rise up, even if they don't know to do that for themselves. So it's really important how we use our eyes, both the external vision as well as our third eye inner vision.
Mm-hmm. Bingo, that is excellent. And I think about even in our own family, especially because of, you know, the kids that were the generation that was that missed out on their graduation, their high, you know, all of that. And there's even been words said that, oh, you know, I'm really worried about so-and-so. Oh, what's going to happen? And just naturally I come back and say, she will find her way. She is fine. And you make that a very good point that we can color a person a certain way instead of feeding them to rise up. And you know, the person I'm speaking of, young, sweet, she has risen up. And it's so important not to feed what you're saying, those words, and what's it going to be like if they, you know, when they're 25 or whatever. So thank you for making that point, Simran. It's an excellent, valid point.
It translates on even beyond our kids. You know, it's how we look at our leaders, how we look at political parties, how we look at other nations, how we look at a war that's taking place. If we look at it through a negative lens, we're contributing to the energy of it unfolding in exactly that way. But if we look at it through a loving lens, through one that lifts up the vibration, then all of a sudden we're creating a vibration that will neutralize anything that's taking place and allow the highest good to then unfold.
Exactly. Really seeing the God within everyone. And if you can keep that in your mind thoughts, even if you're in a place or an environment with people that may not be resonating at the highest vibration, that can shift the whole energy right there too. So thank you for that. So we need to take our last break. Everyone stay with us. Don't forget, you can call in and actually talk with Simran. It's 833-220-1200. Bob's in the house and he'll put you right through. 833-220-1200. But hurry up because the time is going. We'll be back.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 800-944-1001.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And here we are. We are back. And I want to just take a minute and really put this out to your heart. Really get these books. There's 2, there'll be a 3rd one. Get the books. And the reason I'm saying that is they're volumes of information. And what's neat is you can open it up wherever you choose and just read that page or a couple pages and let it marinate. Let it just digest in your mind and see how it feels. These are books that aren't going to be read and put to the side. They are going to be part of your life. And if you share them with others or purchase gifts for others, you will never feel anything but joy because you participated in that person's life by these books. So you can go anywhere and get them. They're on Amazon. They're on our site. They're on Simran's, imsimran.com. If you want autographed ones, you can go through her email and ask for an autographed book, right, Simran?
Thank you for that, Deborah. They really are not books to be read quickly. They are oracles, and I do describe 5 different ways a person can read them that is comfortable for them. And if opening to a page is the way that you want to start your day, it just takes a few lines is enough to really help start your day. I have a lot of people that read a few lines of Living in the morning and then close out the evening with a few lines of Being, and it serves to bookend the day with higher consciousness, high vibrational information that marinates inside and lets you open up to your own innate wisdom.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. They are. It's sometimes with work like this, it's hard to put words to it. It's hard to share the volumes of goodness that are in this work that you have done. But once you start reading and even holding the books, then you'll understand what we're talking about. And they're really making a difference and will continue to make a difference, I believe, on this earth. So, there's more that I can ask. Do you have a prayer or something in the book that you would like to read?
Yes, I would love to read the petition for divine equality. Each of the petitions of prayer ask what is the next shift in consciousness. And this one feels really appropriate based on the conversation that we've just had. This is my allegiance to Godhood, my devotion to the divine feminine, my mission for the divine masculine, my presence to powerful providence. This is my fierce love, wrapping itself around everyone and everything, every moment of every day, because this is what you deserve and who I deserve too. In collective prayer for knowing the transformational steps of recreating foundations and structures for the good of all beings, dear infinite oneness, let the strings of longing play within us and the gifts we forgot be given back to us. Bring the awareness of self into full view. Let eyesight see only you. Help us cross every ocean of existence in order to know our true place of listening. Guide us upon every path, sustaining us amid every desert until we see your holy face. No ocean can hold the joyful tears we have yet to shed. Through knowing complete oneness of you, embodied in heart, action, and head, squeeze from within us anything that is not truth. Ring out all that is illusion, that we receive our divine due. Pull away any deception we have come to see, know, and believe. We call unto the light to bring us home with each deepening breath, opening our hearts to all that is divinely conceived. Carry us through any valleys of death. Remove all the masks that still exist. Take away all coverings of identity and personality that bind, and dance with us through all that is. Hold our hands, guide our steps, bring us full spiral to love, light, and illumination, letting that go viral. It was a free will choice to incarnate for learning and lessons, experience, expression, and blessings. Now we know duality and polarity, a full spectrum of emotions too. May we claim our right to be divine in everything we say, think, and do. Be the sacred presence that moves within us, exudes through us, and all around us. Let us be in service to thy name. So be it, and so it is.
Wow. That's very moving. Thank you.
There's so much that we can create in this world just coming together and just knowing the truth of ourselves as one.
Right. And that is it. There's so much that we, each one of us, can do. Yes. So we don't have that much more time, but I wanted to ask you to choose. Is there a page? Is there something that you want to share that you have not done as of yet?
I would say that I invite people to open to and embrace, absorb, transmute, and transfigure the places within that hold them back from the realization of oneness. No thing outside of you that does not exist within you. And denial is what keeps our illusions operating and our duality in place. I would say that the reason that the world has not seen the miracle of peace is because we continue to assert our individual pieces.
Mm-hmm.
We are one sacred presence, and we can be that if we just breathe deeply and absorb all that's dual in the name of oneness. And I'll close out with one brief closing from one of the sections that says, "May your nights be blessed and your days be blessings. May the vast space of magical ether reveal your infinite presence. May your eyelashes fan divine light into the world, opening brilliant portals of expressive creation and closing with prayers of petition. May light reflect into the body and out to others with the power of presence, freedom from fear, and the grace of detachment. Sweetly dream so that we create sweet dreams."
That's I'm glad that we're ending the show with that. It's one of the ones that touched me. And while we have you, what are the, explain in the pages, the zeros and the ones. I know where you're coming from, but when someone purchases the book, they'll see these different denominations. What do they mean for you?
The ones are representative of the oneness of us, of our individuality, of our multiplicity, of how we as infinity, we go in and out of waves from nothingness to everything and back to nothingness. That is where the zero is. The zero is Alpha and Omega. It is also the nothingness, the void. And so it is about us moving in and out of form and what we're creating. And I think in looking at those, they become just small meditative pieces to bring individuals present when they get kind of pulled away or lost. You can just look at those different configurations, and it sparks something inside of us that we don't know that we know.
Yes. And let's end with, tell us a little bit about the third book that is coming. And for those listening and sharing this show and the former one, we'll be having Simran back to feel and devour that third book. But tell us a little bit about what's coming in 1 minute.
Yes, the reason that the Living and Being came out sooner is because they are preparation for flowering of humanity. We are here to open to a wider expanse of our humanity, a way that lets us really draw in the light into our bodies so that we become the illuminated beings that can rise into the sacredness of our divinity. And that is what Book 3, Knowing the Seven Human Expressions of Grace, is all about.
I look forward to that. Thank you so much, Simran, for taking this time and sharing, you know, your wisdom, insight, and all that has come to you through your writings. I want to use the word evolved, but you have evolved so deeply, and it's knowing and then it's unknowing, and it's all of that we don't realize. It's coming back to the nothingness, which is profound.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah. That means so much to hear you say that, and it's always an honor to be in conversation with you, because I do know that you know.
Yes, thank you. And it's an honor to have you, always. And it's an honor to have you grace our airwaves as well. So everyone, go on our site, iamsimran.com. Again, iamsimran.com. And until we come together again in love and purpose, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.